The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Center, providing clinical research trials that evaluate new therapies and the latest treatment options, including surgical intervention for advancing stages of disease. The number for more information is 1-800-492-5538. I'm Mark Steiner, and I'm sitting here with David Schweitzer, who is directing the new play at Center Stage, Cyrano de Bergerac, but doing it in a very different way than it was originally conceived, I think, by Edmund Rostand in 1897. So, yes. Welcome. Good to see you.
And you, Mark. Nice to be here.
Before we start, I mean, you're a Baltimore boy, huh?
I grew up here, I'm proud to say. went to Gilman School. When I went off to college, I actually didn't return too much to Baltimore until some years ago when Irene Lewis booked a piece that I was directing in New York to play at Center Stage. And I began a relationship with Center Stage, which has been really great, really rewarding.
Like once a season you're here, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. It's not a set thing,
right.
But directed all different kinds of things there, musicals like Caroline or Change last season, mm-hmm. and The Boys from Syracuse, and dramas. You know, Irene seems to think I can do just about anything, and so
that's good.
So far I haven't disappointed her.
I love Irene. She's great.
Yeah.
She's a mad woman, and she's great.
Yeah, exactly.
So what was the play that brought you in the beginning, before we talk about
it? It was a piece called And God Created Great Whales. It was written and performed by this wonderful musician performer named Rindy Eckert.
Uh-huh.
And it was a riff on Moby Dick. It was about a piano tuner who was losing his mind, who was trying to write an opera about Moby Dick. So you saw fragments of the opera and his process into insanity that sort of mirrored the, you know, Captain Ahab. It was kind of a little weird, but that's the boldness of Center Stage, that they'll try some stuff like that from time to time. And this paid off. I mean, the audience really enjoyed themselves.
That's great. Now, did you discover this play in New York, or did you?
Yeah.
So, Center Stage does have that great quality. I mean, the season is so mixed.
Right.
Classical work and modern work and a little off-the-wall, off-Broadway work. And
exactly.
It's good stuff.
And I think the audience is pretty game.
Yeah.
Because they know the pieces are being chosen sincerely,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the folks there think they're exciting on some level, not cynically like, oh, we'll do this to placate the subscribers. There's never a feeling like that there, I don't think.
So tell us some about this, your way you're doing Cyrano. First, let's talk about Cyrano, the play. I mean, Cyrano de Bergerac, which is a play that's not really about the real Cyrano de Bergerac. It's kind of a play on a play. To begin with, right?
Our play.
Yes.
Yes. This is an adaptation by a guy named Jan de Roots. I'm not sure how you pronounce it in the Belgian, but with a Belgian somewhat experimental company who whittled the vast, sprawling cast of thousands.
Yeah,
Cyrano.
Right.
It's one of the great stage romantic epics.
Right.
It has crowd scenes and battle scenes and scenes in
poor
theater.
Poor people, nobility, they're everywhere. Right.
And, you know, it's like those Three Musketeers movies, you know, about sword play and derring do.
Right.
Panache is the word.
Panache is a word that America started using because
Cyrano.
Came out of that play.
Yeah.
Right.
So this piece was an adaptation that these Europeans fashioned from the long play to be done by three actors.
Hmm.
And then it was translated into English, and then it came to our attention. And, you know, Center Stage's upstairs space this year has been reconfigured to have a kind of cabaret-ish flavor.
Right.
It's quite captivating. Audiences are really enjoying it. There's a bar on site. Some of the seating is tables and chairs and not just straight
mm-hmm.
seats. So they've had a lot of cabaret work. And Cyrano launches this series of shorter plays that have a kind of theatricality that could also work in a cabaret space. And so one of the things about this production is that you watch three actors figuring out how to do this huge play
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
at the same time as you see the familiar, wonderful romantic story of Cyrano. So it's the play. It's not a riff on the play. All the great moments are there.
So which characters are in this play? Cyrano?
Cyrano is played by one actor, mm-hmm. Roxanne, the woman he adores but can never tell directly because he's ashamed of his nose, is played by an actress. And she plays one other little thing, but basically she mm-hmm. just plays Roxanne. And then a third actor plays Christian, the dumb, handsome guy who right. doesn't know enough to be the poet that she wants. So Cyrano has to provide his words for him.
Cyrano's puppet.
Cyrano's puppet, exactly. But also this actor plays the Count de Guiche, the evil foe of Cyrano, mm-hmm. who tries to send him and Christian to their death. And many other characters. A wonderful young actor named Luke Robinson, who actually was in Importance of Being Earnest earlier this season.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a lovely play.
Plays these many different parts. But all three actors contribute to the making of the theater style of the play in various ways. There are a lot of human sound effects. There's mm-hmm. a lot of scoring. I use like
what kind of human sound effects?
Well, like Foley sound in the movies, like mm-hmm. when you're running along, the sound that's added later is made by people running along with their feet in a gravel box. You know, you know. We do a lot of that on stage. Uh-huh. To accompany these scenes from Cyrano so that it seems, even though there's no set, it seems like we're in the vastness of the battlefield or we hear the wind or, you know, it's a kind of, and sometimes the actors do it at the same time as they're in a scene. Mm-hmm. So it's a very playful style of performing. So you see the illusion being created at the same time as you appreciate it.
So you said there's no set?
There's an interesting look mm-hmm. By a wonderful designer named Caleb Wharton Baker, who's working for the first time at Center Stage. But it's it looks like a kind of fantastical workspace. There's a huge drop that's kind of flung across the stage with fleur-de-lis all over it, mm-hmm. as if some fancy French classical troupe left it there. And these people are coming to use it. And there's all sorts of noise-making devices and gadgets. And it's like a laboratory to manufacture these illusions that will turn into this three-actor Cyrano.
That sounds like a really interesting production.
Well, one of the things that's been fun, we're in previews now, is that the audience gets a chance to appreciate the story, mm-hmm. which many of them know. The actors are very charming. They play their parts, the major roles, really well. But they also get into the theatricality of the storytelling, the somewhat informal thing. There are even little kind of gentle participatory things, and the actors move through the audience a bit. And, you know, it's kind of...
So it's a very intimate theater setting as well.
Yeah. Though. It's a little bit of a wild ride, but a very friendly one. And what has pleased me is that the audience seems to enjoy keeping track of all these different things at once.
You've done this before the audience already. You've had a couple run-throughs.
We've had a couple of performances now at the time of this taping.
So, and this play, by the way, folks, Cyrano runs through February 7th at Center Stage. And I think not to be missed performance. Before we end, though, I'd like to introduce you more to our listeners, since you are from Baltimore, which is great. Since when you left Gilman, you went right into theater?
I did. I went to Yale, and Yale has a great... I went undergraduate, but Yale has a great, famous graduate drama school department, and I was kind of plucked out from the ranks by the dean there, Robert Brustein.
Oh, you were there during the Brustein era?
I was there during that... wild administration, and I got a very lucky, maybe a little bit ill-advised, early start. I had kind of an enfant terrible period of this youngster being allowed to direct all these plays in New York. And I learned a lot and slowly but surely became like really, really dedicated to this life of doing all different kinds of theater and a lot of traveling. Mm-hmm. I direct plays in all the different regional theaters around the country. And in the last decade or so, I've started to do a lot of opera theater. And I've directed in some of the major opera houses. And I find that really thrilling. I mean, after directing plays for, 20, 30-odd years, mm-hmm. The kind of total theater aspect of doing this opera stuff is quite a thrill. And I love to work with music. And
so tell us before we go, what drew you to Cyrano and how that you brought that play to Baltimore and how this happened?
Well, I love the idea of showing an audience this vast classic in this very personal, very distilled way. And I love the idea. I thought there was the potential for them to just fall in love with these three actors.
Mm-hmm.
If we got it right, if we made it exciting enough to watch, because to go through the experience with them as sort of guides to how to see this play, as well as playing the parts, it just seemed like it could be a sort of magical evening. My favorite thing is to try to create a world on stage that's unique, that someone who comes to see it might not have had that experience before. That's my goal. So,
well, this is exciting. So we're here with David Schweitzer, and the play is Cyrano, and the man who adapted it again is Dubuche?
Jan de Rots.
Jan de Rots.
I'm not an expert on Flemish.
Flemish, yeah. It's a different language, Flemish. But an incredible production, very intimate setting at Center Stage, and it runs for February 7th. David, it's been a pleasure to meet you. I hope our paths cross a lot.
Indeed. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much. We're now going to talk with the three actors. Cyrano is usually a play that has multitudes. This has three people who are the multitudes. Mono Narayan plays Cyrano. Luke Robertson plays Christian and a bunch of other characters as well. And Sarah Grace Wilson plays Roxanne and others. And welcome. Good to have you all here.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So I was just saying before we came in here, this is a tough play to do in the sense that you guys are in a space with three sides and sets you got to keep moving around and things you got to play and Foley actors you've got to be as well as characters kind of keep jumping in and out of. So
yeah,
talk a bit about how you especially, let's start with Christian. I mean Christian, you're not Christian actually, you're Luke.
You can call me Christian.
Christian, fine. Christian Luke. I mean, because you have a number of characters you have to leap in and out of in this play.
Yeah, it's tough, and auditioning for it was kind of daunting. Like when I first got the play and like I looked at it and I'm supposed to play all these people and how do I make them different? How do I make them distinguishable from each other and still have fun and kind of not like rack my brain and go crazy over it, because like the stress will freak me out.
Uh-huh.
But ultimately with David especially, he encouraged kind of like an atmosphere of just of playfulness in the room and exploration and to like push things kind of as far as you could. And it made it a lot easier to be like, oh, I can make a complete fool of myself. And the director will kind of have my back, and not kind of give me these askance, glances and look at me like I'm crazy. So it was more just kind of like the less self-conscious I could be, the easier it became. And then in terms of like the Foley art and the sounds and that kind of stuff, it was just a lot of fun, It was like, how could we be as inventive as possible? And what kind of, in the rehearsal room, we had this like table with all this junk on it. And it was like, what could we grab to make what work? And it became kind of like recess, 8 hours a day. Which is great that you're getting paid to play,
Because
a lot of fun.
It felt like watching you all up there, Sarah, that I mean, you really had to, the timing of all that is something you really had to be really precise about.
Yeah. Some of it was choreographed like a dance.
Right.
And some of it is very improv'd, which is obvious when we mess up. I don't know.
It's not obvious to us, but it's obvious to you. But that happens every night, probably. Actors always play tricks on each other on that stage.
I'm not used to actors playing that many tricks, but this is a fun crew.
I don't know. The thing I like about working with David and then working on this piece, I did another show here at Center Stage called The Boys from Syracuse.
Yes, right. That he directed.
That he directed. Right. David directed. And what was wonderful about that piece and also this piece is that feeling of the vaudeville circuit. The Boys from Syracuse has that old text that was written for two vaudeville teams, vaudevillian pairs.
Mm-hmm.
And we were one of the few productions that didn't try to update it, didn't try to do anything. And we went after the jokes, even though we didn't know what those... They were written specifically bits in the pieces that... in the play that were bits that the vaudevillians had done. Well, in this play, it's kind of similar. I like the idea of even though it's Cyrano, the way we're doing it with the Foley, with the interaction, it's not actively trying to play tricks on people, but it's kind of like the Carol Burnett show does Cyrano. You know, in my mind, it's these actors who are trying to get the heart of the play across, but also are enjoying the theatricality and the playfulness on stage with both the audience and between each other. So if we do a imaginary sword fight and one stroke is missed, and for whatever reason the sound effect doesn't go with it or the action doesn't go with the sound effect, that mm-hmm. we actually acknowledge that.
Yeah.
That, yeah, you know what? We missed up. We're actors on stage. We messed up. And as an audience and as the actors on stage, let's laugh at it because you rarely get a chance to do that. We take theater so seriously and films are done so packaged so well, and these musicals that go around the country are packaged so well that we forget that it's an interactive experience that's kind of like a jazz performance every night, that the audience who comes on Tuesday night won't see the same show mm-hmm. on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And that's good.
So it felt like that. I mean, you keep the audience engaged in this thing. I mean, you're always literally interacting with the audience, not as actors mm-hmm. do usually for the distance. You're like with them and talking to them and kind of pulling them into the play right. and giving them things as you walk through and
yeah.
putting your beer on their table or whatever that, you
yes,
know.
Exactly. And sometimes the audience actually is encouraged in the beginning of the play to talk back to the actors
right.
and give responses.
Felt like
to
a black church in that way.
Yeah. And it's scary for the actors.
Right. It's dangerous. It's especially dangerous. With those student matinees.
That'd be dangerous.
They start yelling stuff at you uh-huh. and you got to kind of, you know.
Yeah, but it's good.
Climb up.
It's good, I think.
That must be interesting. The students actually do interact with you when they see the play.
The students, well, yeah, I mean, mostly with Manu because he has that whole opening sequence of, like, questioning.
Yeah.
And they were quiet for, like, the first 2 seconds, maybe?
Yeah.
And then they were just, like, a floodgate. You know, what's wrong with my nose? It's ugly, it's big, it's fake, it's da-da, you know, and all these things they were throwing at him.
Which is great, but the thing was...
So how do you handle that when they do that, Manu?
I love it. I mean, because it keeps me on my toes, number one. Number two, it's how do you still tell the story across with the script, but yet acknowledge that they're talking. And the best part about that is that the students who come, as well as the audiences who come, are actively listening. I think it's, you know, they're actually in the world of the play already, and it didn't take any work. It's not like, you know, I ask them a question, they see the nose, and they start talking about it. And respectfully, you know, and I like that. I like it a lot.
So, talk about the play, I mean, itself. And this is a little different version, obviously, of Cyrano than the original. I've got the playwright's name, that he's Dutch, right? Flemish?
Wait, the original?
No, this one you're doing.
Oh, Jo
Roets.
Yeah, right.
Or Joe Roets.
Or in Pittsburgh, Jo Roets.
Jo Roets. So... So I think, just talk about the story and how you guys approach it, how you three as actors approach this.
When I'm working on any kind of like adaptation or like, I guess condensation is what's on the window, but you know it's a condensement of a big script. I tend to just use that. I don't go back to the original. Because I feel like it's a different play. It's a different thing. It's based on that. And, you know, it's probably good to know it, but I don't spend too much time kind of going back. Because then you're going to kill yourself being like, oh, but that's in there and my character doesn't do it here in the adaptation. And how do I make it work? And how do I put that element of whatever, sorrow or whatever it is in? And it just, to me, becomes a little hard and also ultimately like kind of like superfluous because that's not what the... adapt or intended, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just work with it as its own thing. And, you know, but you're the same as anything else. You know, you find your character and you figure out ultimately what the character's want is for me. That's what I do. You know, what is his ultimate goal in life? And then every little thing you do is kind of a step along the way towards that goal. And, that's how I kind of work on it, you know? And, it's ultimately with this play, because of its kind of like vaudevillian, like Manu said, aspect, we really needed it. I needed an audience at some point in the rehearsal room. It got like torture. Uh-huh. You know, it was like, oh, we're kind of, I feel like I'm being clever and coming up with these jokes, and then they're falling flat.
Right,
and
right.
David, who's a fantastic director, can only laugh at the same things.
So
many times.
Right.
And then he keeps laughing, and you go, you're just faking it now, David. You're just making me feel good up here. So I needed, like, you know, those preview audiences to figure out what bits are working. You know, that's kind of how I went at it.
So talk about your Roxanne for our folks, Sarah.
Oh, well, she's, I don't know how to talk about her. She's
obviously beautiful, but you can't see that on the radio, but... Very
Thanks,
beautiful,
Manu.
Roxanne.
How much do I owe you for that one?
Sarah, Grace Wilson is beautiful, and so is Roxanne. But
it's funny. When I auditioned for this, I had no idea that this is how the play was going to actually come together. That first day of rehearsal was nothing like how I had auditioned. And I was shocked. And I spent the first couple weeks really struggling. And David had a lot of patience, and I had some patience too, and impatience, trying to figure out, well, no, what do you want? Because these two guys, Luke and Manu, they're allowed to be much more. They can play in the style of Commedia more than Roxanne could,
mm-hmm.
for sure. But I was trying to match their style, or David was encouraging me to, and then saying, no, don't do that. And then finally it came down to, he said, you know, you're more of the poetry of the play, and we have to sense that from you. And then also he was having me, he kept saying, well, how old is she? Or, you know, and it became younger and younger. And how do you find playfulness, and how do you make someone lovable and intelligent and fun, but not ever come across as silly and stupid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it was a fine balance, because you have to believe that this woman could love both of these men for very different reasons. And never pick up on the fact that it was really just one man orchestrating all of this,
mm-hmm.
all of the letters, all of the wooing.
What have you all done recently besides where you are now? I'm like just curious about you as actors. What have you been doing?
Well, in addition to plays around the country and shooting Law and Order or things like that in New York, I also direct up there at Juilliard, and that's what I do.
That's busy.
Yeah. You're pretty busy.
I have a band called Darunam, www.darunam.com, and we like make music. We perform, like, we released an album last year, and we performed live on CBC in Canada, in Vancouver, for national radio. I do some TV film stuff. Just shot Wall Street 2 with Oliver Stone, and M. Night Shyamalan's new movie, and some independent stuff as well.
What kind of music?
It's awesome. I work with this Yugoslavian rock star, so we do gypsy pop rock and lounge music. So I sing these like gypsy folk songs or Serbian folk songs or Indian folk songs, as well as our own original music, and we have this great. Radovan Jovicevic, who's from the band Zana in Yugoslavia, who now lives in New York, he and I collaborate, and we've been collaborating for like 3 years, so we do all kinds of stuff.
I'll go over the web and hear this stuff.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
We're
on YouTube, and we're on, iTunes and stuff.
I mean, I think that's the life that you all have out. This is always interesting, more about the folks who do the acting,
because I mean, it's such an itinerant world.
Yes.
That you live in, not knowing where the next mouthful will come from.
Right, yes. Right, right.
Well, our life is one continuous job interview.
Right.
You know, because right. Each job only lasts 7 to 9 weeks, and we're going out on these interviews every day for every week of our life.
And right. As the right. price of living gets higher and higher and higher, especially in New York, but all over the country, and the funding for the arts gets lower and lower and lower, it becomes really, really difficult. And you factor in, you know, people with families and insurance, medical insurance and things, it becomes really difficult to kind of make a living. And I worry about that all the time. And I think, God, here I am. I'm a working actor. You know, I work. And not to say that people aren't, but, you know, I do well. Like the jobs, if you look at the things I've done, I'm like, wow, this is great. But yet, how does one make a living? I don't know. It's very, very difficult.
Very tough.
Yeah.
Tough way to go.
Obama passed the extra 20 weeks of
unemployment?
Unemployment.
That's a good
thing.
That
doesn't hurt, yeah. I have no shame about applying for unemployment because you lose a job and that's right. That's the, you know, what you need to, you know, qualify. It's like, have you lost a job? Yes. Are you eligible to work? Yes, I'm auditioning all the time. And I'll take the, you know, I pay into the unemployment, so I'll take it back when I'm not working.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So to close out here, just I'm curious from the three of you, just about your going back to this play. I'll kind of describe this play as it's a very joyful play. It's kind of this heavy moments, clearly, especially towards the end of the play, the serious moments. But it's has this constant undertone of kind of campy joy. Is that fair to say?
Yeah,
I think absolutely. I think it's kind of a celebration of a classic story, kind of retold. It's a celebration of theater. Like, it's we're not masking what we're doing, you know? And, you know, it's a celebration of, like, a specific art form maybe that's kind of been lost on Americans, you know, like, specifically, like, that kind of Foley, you know, you work in radio, you know, like, people work very, not that we're amazing Foley artists. Cause I
you were great as Foley artists. Guys, you did really well in the sound effects. I was blown away by at least what I saw. Your timing, you know, all of your timing and with the sword fight. You might have blown a couple nights, you said, but when I was watching that evening, it was just every time you hit the sound to make the sound of the sword, the two of you, it was just right in unison. Just the whole thing just worked. It's hard doing Foley work. It's hard doing Foley work and have it kind of line up with the actor's motions. You really, that was amazing.
Yeah, Sarah Grace does all the Foley work for us in
for the
sword
fight.
And
yes.
She does a great job.
It was amazing.
Makes us look good.
No problem, guys.
Made him look good.
Yeah. You can return the favor sometime. I'm just kidding.
So it's definitely fair to say that it's a celebratory thing. And then, you know, we flip it on you in the end a little.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, that's the story.
Yeah.
And I think overall it's what it is to be a human being.
Right. We won't talk about the ending. It was a very lovely ending. I just really it was a wonderful play. And I've been dying to meet the three of you since I saw the production. It was just really good.
Great. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you
very much.
Manu Narayan,
yes.
Cyrano. Luke Robertson, Christian. Luke Robertson plays Christian, and what's the other character's name?
De Guiche.
Count
De Guiche.
Count De Guiche. The evil one.
That's right.
Plays the evil one. And Sarah Grace Wilson plays Roxanne, and the name of the other character again?
There was one other, the Duenna.
Duenna, right.
It's a little cameo.
Yes, a small cameo. She trots out and leaves again. And Cyrano, directed by David Schweitzer. It runs through February 7th at Center Stage. In the cabaret upstairs, so you can have a drink, watch the play, hang out at the table.
And then we always hit the bar afterwards and come and have a drink, so if you want to talk to us, definitely stay around, and I'd love to meet you guys, whoever comes, audiences.
And you can buy the actors a drink.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's right. Good to have you all here.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks so much.
Take care. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producer is Justin Levy. We're engineered by Zachary Coleman, and our interns are Judith Lloyd, Brian Boone, Richard Good, Gay Pinder, and Devin Finley. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again and podcast any of our past shows and hear new additional interviews, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.